Hello and welcome. This is day 8 of the Money Matrix Magic Marathon, and it's been such fun doing this work with this group. And yesterday we looked at marketing and all the negative beliefs that we may have around that, and there's quite a few. And actually, it was a very interesting session, because what came out of it was not just the negative beliefs, but also changes in the way people started to perceive marketing, and a positive perspective, such as marketing could be like going to the farmer's market, which is a joyous occasion for many of us, and where people put out their beautiful wares and the things that they have to offer, and there's a beautiful sense of exchange. Anyway, there were people, if you haven't listened to that one, it's well worth listening to. Lots of gems there and wonderful participation from the people who were able to make the call. So what I'm going to do now is talk about today and what we're going to be looking at. It's related to marketing, but I wanted to treat it a little bit separately, because marketing is getting out there and making the doing the promotion about yourself. It's not necessarily the actual sales and the pricing of your products if you're doing a business, or I mean if you. And I expect there will be some people listening to this. It's if you're on a job, it's not the value of your, you know, how much you are paid also is something that you may want to clear, because it may be that you are not valuing yourself enough. And we usually talk a few minutes about these concepts and then go right into the clearing. So this is by no means an extensive thing on sales and pricing. There's a huge amount packed in here. But what I want to look at is, I think around sales and how much we charge, there's a question of how much we value ourselves. And if you're chronically undercharging people or not getting paid on time or whatever, often there will be a question of not valuing yourself enough, and thinking that, or you know, sometimes as healers or as coaches, we love the work we do, and we could do it for free, and we would love to do it for free if everything else was paid for, but the reality is that we need to live, and we need to live well, and in a way that nurtures us. So all of that's packed in around sales and pricing and how much we charge for our services. However, I would like to say is that what we charge is not necessarily how we value ourselves, in the sense that it's not equal to us. Like, some of us will choose not to charge huge amounts because of our audience and who we really want to serve, and whereas other people will go into very high income level, you know, for example, if you're coaching or if you're doing healing work for high income level people, then you will charge more to those people. Or you have a basis for getting more for your services, and that's something you want to decide on. But it doesn't mean, although some people kind of think it is that somebody who charges, I mean, I know coaches who charge $10,000 for a day with them, which is incredible. I mean, it's pretty high. Some people are able to do that, all power to them. However, it doesn't. I've experienced these coaches, and it doesn't necessarily mean that the coach is the person is better, or does better coaching. In fact, I've actually I've been coached by people who were later charging a lot more, and you know, I just know they weren't nearly as good as some people who I was coached by who charge way, 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 way less. But they were good at the marketing, And they do have clients who can afford to pay those prices. So that's to be said for. So, but what I would like to say, so it's not an, you know, your what you charge is what you value or how you value yourself necessarily, but you can see if you're chronically undercharging or not getting enough to really nurture yourself and do your dreams, that there's a disconnect here. And I know for myself, I've had a lot of conflict around this thing, because on the one hand, with my experience and skills and I know that there are coaches that are charging way, way, way more than me. And on the other hand, I do serve a particular audience where the income level isn't always the greatest. So I have flexible alternatives that I use as well. But that's been a sticking point for me, and something that I've found a little difficult to navigate, and I'm sure some of you have too. So the clearing helps with that. There's also, you don't have to, there are certain psychological price points, like once you are charging for products and all that, so you want to look out for what's happening in the market. And like there's certain things like $97 or $197 rather than $100 or $200 that work better in the internet environment. And why buck the system? You know, why if it's easier for people to buy your services at a certain price point, why not go with that, unless there's some very compelling reasons not to? Also, and there's been studies done about, you know, what works and what doesn't, but you can pretty well see by just looking at what other people are offering in the market that you're in. Now, the other thing is that you don't have to price like everybody else. It's like anything else in your business. You can choose. For example, Tad Hargrave, who does marketing for hippies, who's a wonderful, wonderful man who does amazing promoting and or at least teaching of about marketing, and for people who are conscious entrepreneurs and healers, and he has often had this structure for at least his courses that people do a pay what you can. Now, he makes suggestions about how much you pay what you can. And I think he, you know, at different times his guidelines are more, you know, probably more enforced than others. People play with that, and I've played with that, and it sometimes has worked and sometimes hasn't worked so well for me. And then there's Andrea Lee, who's also she's a very interesting coach, and she coaches more on the higher end. But she actually works with a lot of healers and coaches and people who do things that normally they might not charge that much, but she helps them position themselves in a way that they can charge well, you know, good prices for their services. And, for example, there's Lisa Bowles, who does her soul map things. And I think it's basically about three sessions in her doing the chart. She charges over $1,200 for what are basically astrological readings. Now, whereas, you know, a lot of astrologers will just charge, you know, maybe about $100 or sometimes less for a session. However, she has a tremendous amount of business skills, and she combines it with, you know, like a real artistry and a real ability to see things. So you're paying not just because she is something, but she's exceptionally good at her work. But until she worked on defining her business really carefully and seeing her, you know, what was really unique about her, I don't think she didn't even do that. She actually thought that she couldn't possibly do, she did business coaching rather than astrology, you know, having the astrology at the front, and because she just didn't think she could get good prices for the astrology. So that's just a way of looking at things. And finally, we're going to be going. I'm just going to talk a few minutes about our habit for the day, which I'm going to suggest. And as I've said in previous things, you don't implement these day after day, you know, like in these 10 days. These are things that you can take up as habits over time, because usually you need a little bit of time for each habit to make it really a habit, and it doesn't really help you at all if you start trying to do 10 habits in 1 week and then you just and don't really get any of them clearly established. But we talked yesterday about one habit being setting an intention for the day of how you want that day to be. And you can take this further. And in the Law of Attraction, the basics of the teaching of Abraham with Esther and Jerry Hicks, there's something which talks about that. And it talks about dividing your days into segments of intention. So not only do you have the general intention for the day, but you have also an intention for each segment of the day. And this is really good, because it's not just looking at the whole thing, like, I want my life to be this big thing, and I intend my life to be, you know, in such a way, or this project to go in such a way. But it's actually the different moments, periods during the day. And it really helps you manifest more what you want, just in the smaller moments or the hours of the day, rather than just in the big chunks, which is really important to having a joyful life. And I just want to read two paragraphs from them, just to give you, if you don't know about this already, just to tell you what this is all about. So it's like during the day you identify when you're moving from one segment to another, and you have one set of intentions in one segment and another set of intentions in another. So, for example, when you wake up in the morning, you are now entering a new segment. That time that you are awake before you get out of bed, that is a segment. That time that you are preparing yourself for your next activity, that is a segment. When you get into your vehicle, that is another segment, and so on. Whenever you realize that you are moving into a new segment of life experience, if you'll pause for a moment and set forth aloud or in your mind what you most want as you are moving into that segment, you will begin by the powerful law of attraction to solicit thoughts, circumstances, events, and even conversation or action from others that will harmonize with your intent. As you take the time to recognize that you're moving into a new segment, and you go even further by identifying what your dominant intentions are within it, you will avoid the confusion of being swept up by the influence of others, or even the confusion of being carried by your own less than deliberate habit of thought. Now, this takes a bit of a discipline, a self-discipline to do this, and observation, because it's very easy to get caught up in one's day and not realize even that one's moving from one segment to another. And an example of a segment is actually all of you being on this call and me being on this call, is that what do we intend to what would we like for to happen during this segment? And, you know, for me, the intention is that I want all the participants to take away at least one powerful clearing, or to be able to do one powerful clearing on a important belief system. So that could be my intention. And your intention could be, if you can figure out what your is, to clear something around prices and sales for you. So, or it could be something more general. So anyway, that's about segment intending. And I suggest that over time, that if you can bring this into your life, that it does make a difference. And I can't say I do it consistently, but certainly when I do, it really changes things. For example, when I'm focusing on, you know, with my family, promoting harmony rather than reacting, then things go much better. You know, I just approach things differently. You know, if my son's done something I don't exactly like, then I approach it with more gentleness and thought. And so if I've come into that segment focusing on family harmony and getting the best out of things. Also, I mean, just in the case of family, you know, being in a family or if you're living with a friend, is that it's easy to get caught in, let's say, they do something annoying, like this isn't even a problem in my family, but you know, throwing their socks on the floor and you're having to pick them up or something, which is an example that Byron Katie always uses. You could sort of go on grumbling and feeling bad in that segment, or you can make a choice. I'm not going to feel bad about this. What in what way can this be? You know, in what way can this serve me so that I have more joy in my life? So that's an example. Anyway, I would love to get to the clearings now. And what I'm going to do is, let's say, or any questions you have around the intention, I'm going to open up in a moment. But let's say one of the clearings we're going to do is around what you charge for your services. And I would love to hear from people on the call how they feel about charging for their services, whether they feel really totally good about it or whether they feel that there's some stuff that's holding them back there. So I'm going to take this off mute. And hopefully I can hear you. Good. And I can hear an echo. So what I'm going to do, actually, is because of the echo, is I'm going to put it on Q&A. And then what you have to do, and I hope we can... Actually, nothing is happening with this. Oh, my goodness. I haven't... I'm not seeing anything happen with my board, which means that I can't do anything with my board, which is not good. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to... Can people... let me just check something, because what happens here is a little bit worrisome, actually, because I've lost control of my... For some reason, my control panel isn't working. And I'm going to just play around with it. But if you can, you press *6 and see what happens. Is anybody able to say anything? Oh my goodness, I've just lost everything. Oh my goodness. Okay, I'm back on. Let me see. Okay. I think I lost... just a moment. I'm going to... Okay. So let me take it off mute and see if I can do it. What I'm going to do now is can... maybe somebody like Katrina, I'm going to volunteer you. Can you press *6 just to see if things are working and say hello? Oops. Not seeing that happening. Okay, well, I'm going to have to try and open it all up again. Oh, this is frustrating here. I'll try and unmute you. Katrina, can you just say hello?
Hello.
Okay, good. I don't know if you want to say anything, but I'm... there's been some weird things happening. Okay, so... did you want to say anything on that, or shall I see if anybody else does?
No, nothing comes to mind immediately, but something may come later.
Okay, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to try and open up the lines to the whole thing because it's just easier, and hoping it's not going to echo, and see who pipes up. So I'm going to... anybody like to say something?
Hello?
Oh, Mary Aline.
Yes, hello.
Yes, I can hear you.
Oh, wonderful. When I looked at the topic for the call before I came on, I thought, oh, this is totally irrelevant to me and terribly scary. That whole thought of suggesting to someone that they should pay me. So anyway, that's my starting point. But I did enjoy the lecture part of this call and the idea of intention. So, you know, I get where you're going. I just don't know that it concerns me at this point.
Well, if it's really scary to you, and
yeah.
I assume it's because you were, you know, you were a teacher for many years, so you were paid there and felt comfortable with the salary part there?
Yes.
However, now you're getting into actually, and this is where I think a lot of people who are artists or conscious entrepreneurs have a challenge is when you start charging for yourself. How can you possibly or for the services that you really love? And where that's kind of scary because it's valuing another kind of talent and it's outside the traditional marketplace where you get hired for a job. So Mary Aline, if I can just use you for a moment here.
Sure.
What is it you find, like right now you're, you know, you are going into storytelling more, and I would assume that what's scary to you is actually charging for doing that activity. Is that right?
Yes. Well, and I'm still a bit scared about the actual storytelling.
Yes.
However, I'm making progress with that, especially after the call yesterday about the marketing and
right.
feeling some joy, and the idea of having fun with the storytelling is so exciting to me.
That's good. Mm-hmm. And so just to take this a little further, let's imagine that you're feeling really confident about the storytelling. And this is really important, actually. Let's step back a little bit. When you're first starting out in business, sometimes you just have to go for a while where you're not charging. Just to get, I mean, I did that at first with my coaching. And, you know, as I was training and everything, I wasn't charging people. I was just getting the experience of doing it and feeling enough so that I would feel confident that I could do it well. And that makes sense, you know, because when we're charging, we want to be charging for something that we feel confident in and where we know our stuff and we've, you know, got the basics under our belt. However, there comes a time, and for all of us it's a little different, when we need to get out from that, okay, practicing and into the world of that we're doing it, that we are doing it for pay. And that's sometimes a bit of a leap. And it's sometimes where we start out at a lower rate than, you know, and that makes sense, you know, a lower rate than we charge later. And so I'm just, if you were imagining just maybe a little bit later down the line when you're just feeling, when you have a bit more experience in doing this, and I do believe you have a fair amount of volunteer experience doing this already, but what if you were, what would the discussion be in your head about charging at all?
The discussion in my head would be what seems like a fair amount and balanced against what I need to have coming in to make it worth my while to spend my time at it. And probably what the circumstances are of the party that I would be expecting the pay to come from.
Sorry, I didn't quite hear that. Or
well, the circumstances, like the ability to pay, the ability of the party that I would be giving the service to.
Oh,
to
so the people
me.
You would be serving.
Yes.
Or organization or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Right, right. All of which are things to consider, especially with storytelling, because you might be going into a school one time or a library one time, and they may have, or you know, doing it on a private basis or organizing
uh-huh.
an evening, and all those are probably different, slightly different price points.
Uh huh. Yeah.
So part of it is kind of knowing and figuring out all those things. But there's probably another thing. Is there a thing where you're not sure if you really value yourself quite yet in that department?
Well, I certainly, that's where I'm at right now.
Okay.
Going down the road, I guess I assumed that your question was that I should assume that I have value and
yes.
I have a valuable service. And that I'm confident about it.
Hmm.
So I was trying to put myself in that frame
right.
of mind.
Okay. So we'll look at that, and we'll sort of see with the clearing what comes up.
Mm-hmm.
And it can be as much for other people as well. So anything to add to that, or I'll just take some other people saying whatever they need to
Well, I guess I probably have concerns, now that I think of it, of how much I would have to declare and the income tax, you know, the taxation aspect of my
yeah.
earnings. And but you did have a session on, or there was a speaker who was very helpful with that whole aspect.
Yeah.
Twiss, I think, was her name, Nancy.
That was Anna Pilon.
Anna Pilon, yes. Mm-hmm.
And I think that, yeah, I mean, this is, but it does, actually, I was thinking about this the other day in relation to a lot of things. Sometimes the fact that some money is going to be taken off us if we do something at a higher level
mm-hmm.
Discourages us from even doing it and making more money and getting out there more. And I think it's really kind of an interesting dynamic. I mean, it's the same dynamic for people who are on welfare but may not make much more. If they get a job, they'll make very little much, you know, they'll
yeah.
make much more.
Yeah, like,
and
will I be
they
any
have
further
a hell of a
ahead?
Lot more expenses.
Mm. Will I be any further ahead if I have to give up
yeah, yeah.
half
so
of what I make or whatever? 30%
mm-hmm.
or whatever of what I make, is there much
yeah.
point?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of a poll, which is an interesting one on a lot of levels.
Uh-huh.
So good for suggesting, so coming up with it. So thank you, Mary Lee. And I'll just see if I can get some other, I'm going to open up the line again and see if I can get some other people saying.
Yeah.
Okay, just a moment. Anybody like to pipe in with some of their concerns around pricing and sales? Oh, well,
I think I might need to talk about it.
Oh, great. It always helps when people do say
what
they have.
I can feel my resistance to talk about it, so I know I need to talk about it. It's interesting because, you know, I've been evolving certainly in my pricing. You know, it's been, you know, every year I'm able to charge more, and but there's still, you know, it's funny. There's still, you know, it goes back to those core beliefs, you know, that we've been playing with and working on, that, you know, not good enough piece. That not for me, that not good enough for my client's piece. So that really interferes with pricing.
Yeah.
Or for me in getting clients, even. Like it's you know, I'm putting the, I have the pricing, and then, you know, I'm no, like recently I just had somebody who wanted to maybe do Vedic chanting with me, and I hadn't had somebody who just wants to come and do Vedic chanting with me, so I actually wasn't even sure, what do I charge for that?
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I have a certain price, and then I kind of, and then she was thinking she wanted to do like a bunch, you know, like maybe, you know, like several sessions. So then I thought, well, I can give her a deal, and but I really cut down on my price, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Like it went down significantly, and yet, it, you know, it was just this thing, like, can I, it's also like, I don't know, I think other people aren't charging that much. It's like, I can see I'm charging more than what people in the field are charging, you know. So even though I've kind of got to a point where I am charging a bit more than what I'm seeing in yoga teachers. So, yeah, it's that.
And most yoga teachers are not getting by.
They're not getting by. I mean, which is why I created, that's why I created the business that I'm trying to create, so that I can create something sustainable, but I'm in that process of trying to do that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, yeah. What else do I want to say about that?
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know what else I want to say about that.
Well, that gives us quite a bit along with Mary Lynn. So, Oh, do you remember something?
Mary Lynn, yes. Also, if I were to ask some experienced storytellers who are earning income from storytelling to give me some advice or some help, some suggestions, then I feel that I might be moving in on their territory. So there's this potential for competition, and that there's a finite amount of work out there, and if I move in and start taking some, that it'll take away from the others' ability to earn a sufficient income.
Right. Yeah, good realization, because that's, I mean, it's another place, I think, where you're sticking around competition a little bit.
Mm.
I think you brought that up the other day and something else.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah. And, I mean, it's just also looking at what the competition is, or even framing it as competition, because, I mean, that's the way our society has taught us to do, and yet there is a, you know, like for example, with storytellers, there's an immense need for more stories being told, but the problem is partly public education about what stories can bring you. And for a while, even like with coaches, not many people really wanted to hire coaches because nobody knew what coaching was and why it could be really productive and or helpful for people to move forward. So there was a whole education that had to be done about that need. And you could see it from another perspective, is that the more people out there promoting storytelling, the more actually opportunities that can be created and the atmosphere that it is worth people investing in.
Mm. Oh, that's brilliant.
another perspective.
Wow. Yeah, I love it.
Well, we'll see what comes with the clearing, too.
Mm.
Anybody else want to put in something of their own that they would like to have come up? Or we'll go straight into the clearing.
This is Maureen.
Yes?
I'm noticing that I'm not wanting to talk.
Right.
And I really like Mary Lynn's voice when she piped up. That was really great. I am recreating the frame of how I present myself.
Yes.
And, I mean, I've done this in my work every few years. I regroup, focus a different way. And what I'm noticing is in the past, it's always been, here's my frame, here's, okay, now this is what I need to charge. Mm-hmm. And it feels like there's something coming through that it's almost like I need to be mindful of the charge before I create something.
Mm-hmm.
And that seems like the trailer is ahead of the car somehow.
Yeah.
And I, yeah, even I've taken, you know, groups to India and I've done these wonderful things, but it costs money. And I notice I really am ready to take a group to India again, but ooh, can people afford that? And I don't, somehow that seems like some cobwebbing getting in my way because it's, I don't know. There's something in there of, and yet I've, so I'm kind of maintaining, but I need to step on a bigger, and like you were calling it, actually I missed the word, it didn't go in my head, but this way of sectioning, like these segmenting of the days and the frames and the, because I like segment group work, individual work, and I want my segments simpler. And I think I have judgment about that.
Okay.
Or something blocking. Yeah, I like money to be really, really simple and clean and visual. So I think that was like a little hairball, but that's where it is.
Thank you. So we'll put that in. I think the thing about, oh, we're having a bit of echo again. So actually, before I comment on it, oh, the echo's gone. Good. Is that can people afford my prices? That's a great one to put into the clearing. Afford the prices for me doing what I really want to do, as opposed to sometimes people just want to have high prices before they actually do the services, rather than I think where you going from it, what the services are that you want to offer is really important too.
I think I just found it. Can I share this?
Yeah.
With you talking, so. I have worked with people with various price ranges and affordability.
Yeah.
And I notice that there seems to be some transition point that I haven't quite pinpointed, but it's often there's some connection. I don't usually like announcing things until I figure them out, but I'm in here. There's some connection that if people have a certain amount of extra money, they tend to not bring themselves along with the work. There's some, you know, I'm giving you this amount of money, I want you to do it for me. And I want to catch the thread of people that value it enough to contribute money and themselves, like to develop. And this thing that you are saying, you're hitting an audience that doesn't always have cash flow or easy cash flow. Like, I want to grab the hungry, ready, willing to work.
Wonderful. Anything else, Maureen?
And I want to get paid as I, yeah. Yeah, I have, okay, that's it. Thank you.
Great. Unless there's somebody else, we're going to go into the clearing. I'm going to listen one more minute. And then I'm going to put on the because there's too much echo here.
I'm sorry, I have one more thing.
Oh, okay.
There's some part of, like, being, it's connected to this old style spiritual twisted money dynamic, that there's almost shame to be able to collect rewards for people suffering.
Oh.
I've studied a lot in China, and they pay the doctors when they're well, and when they're sick, they get a lot of attention, but they don't pay the doctor.
Yeah. Well, thanks. A lot there. So I'm going to just put it on lecture mode so we get rid of the echo, which I'm, again, my board seems to be acting up today. Just a minute. I'll see if I can just mute some of you. And good. Okay. So we're going to, I'm going to start on the clearing. And just one more thing on what you were saying, Maureen, is that you think that if people have the extra cash, they won't be so eager to they're putting the money. Your belief is that they're putting the money and they're not going to, because they don't want to do the work. And that's a belief about people who have more money, which isn't necessarily the case. There's probably lots of people with money who are ready to do the work. So that's an interesting thing just to clear. Also, often we have, what I've found is that people will kind of stretch themselves to get a higher, even though it's difficult for them. It's kind of like there's a certain limit, but they will stretch themselves by paying more, and then be more committed. That certainly is the case. And so you can get some people who have less money who are willing to pay a big fee because they have that commitment. So let's go into the clearing, and we'll get out of the see what's in the unconscious here. Even though I really don't know about the value of my services or whether I'm supposed to charge that much, I deeply love and accept myself. Even though I'm not sure about all this thing about sales and pricing and how to make it really work for me, I deeply love and accept myself. Even though I don't know how to really price things anymore, I deeply love and accept myself. Oh, I do wish this price thing would just go away. I mean, why do we have to deal with it? I mean, it's just like, oh, it's so bothersome. I mean, how can I value myself with money? How can I do that? I don't really know. I mean, if the rest of the world is charging, you know, if a yoga practitioner is charging $15 an hour and they're really good, why should I charge more? Even if they're starving. In fact, we're serving the world. Why do we have to charge? Why doesn't it just get looked after? I mean, really, we should all be looked after. We shouldn't have to do all this stuff. It'd be just handled by society. You know? Like medical care in Canada. We should be like the doctors, not have to deal with this. We really should not have to deal with this. I don't want to deal with it. I don't want to deal with it. I'm refusing to deal with it. I'm refusing to deal with this. This pisses me off. This really pisses me off. We all should be paid. We all should be getting what we really need and not have to worry about these nitty-gritty things. I mean, it should be a more spiritual society, a more communal society, and then we wouldn't have to worry about this. And I hate to really charge high prices because I don't want to exclude anybody. But then what happens? They go and pay high prices to somebody else who's not nearly as good as me. And thinking that I'm not valuing myself, thinking that because I'm not charging good prices, that I'm not valuable. I mean, it's all so bloody screwed up. It's all screwed up, this money thing in this society. There's no rhyme and there's no reason. There's no rhyme and there's no reason to it all. I mean, the fact that you have to put $97 instead of $100, I mean, everybody knows it's $3 difference. It's not much. Doesn't make a bloody difference. And yet I have to do that, even though I know it's silly. That's human psychology is kind of silly, isn't it? I mean, we are silly beings. There's all kinds of little trigger points and all these things that the marketing people use, and I don't feel particularly ethical about. But then why am I doing all the things to make people not buy my services? Why am I putting up a barrier to me living properly? Why am I doing that? What if this was just a game? What if it's just a game? The money game, the charging game, the sales game. And all I want to do is get the right price at the moment. It's not forever. And it doesn't really say what values me. It just gives me money so I can do what I want. And so I can serve the world in the way I want. It's okay to charge. It's okay even to charge different prices. It's okay to be really generous with oneself and with others. It's okay to experiment, to have fun, sometimes to charge a lot and sometimes to just charge a little weeny bit. It's fun to give, and it's fun to give to oneself. Okay. I'm going to take off the lines and see if any comments, anything coming up. Anybody want to say anything, or we'll keep going?
Yeah, absolutely. You put a shower cap on or a towel?
Oh, I'm hearing something in the background. I don't know if it's somebody talking, trying to talk or not.
No, it's not me.
Okay. And so I guess... Good. I'm glad to hear that it's not me. Oh, wait a second. So I saw anybody else want to say something?
I was laughing my head off through this clearing. Oh, my goodness. It was really good. Keep going.
Okay. I'm not against laughing. In fact, I'm for it. And it seems to be laughter is part of the releasing. Yeah. So I'll keep going with whatever we've got here. Okay. So let me see if this background. Yeah. I'm getting this damn echo, so I'm going to have to, just a minute, I have to do something other than swear on the line. And kick the computer or whatever. So here we go. My problems with technology. Sometimes it's going really well, but other times it just seems to have a life of its own. So hopefully, yeah, it seems like the echo's off. And let me see. I'm on. I'm going blank. Okay, so I guess I just start in being blank. Okay. I'm just looking here. Oh, even though I feel like I'm not really good enough to charge good prices, I deeply love and accept myself. Even though I feel like I'm not really good enough, I deeply love and accept myself. even though I feel like I'm really good enough, but I'm not really good enough, and I have these conflicting feelings, I deeply love and accept myself. Let's face it, I'm brilliant inside. I actually am pretty brilliant at what I'm doing. Let's face it, I am. You know, there's always things that I could improve. And hopefully that'll be all my life, because I don't want to stay still. But I'm pretty brilliant at what I'm doing. There's lots of things that are my own little quirks, my own little ways of doing things that some people really love. And after all, it's those people I want to have. It's those people who I want as my clients. So, what's holding me back? What's not enough about me? What's not enough? I feel like I should be doing a more profound clearing here. I feel like I should be coming up with the most amazing words to clear the fact that I'm not feeling enough. I'm not feeling enough again. I'm not feeling enough. I mean, I have to be profound and brilliant at all times to qualify as brilliant. I mean, I have to really be on all times. I can't allow myself anything human, like making mistakes, like fluffing my lines, like, oh gosh, all the things I do all the time. Oh, I mean, really, I do some pretty stupid things a lot of the time, and I know stupid is not politically correct, but hey, that's how I feel, not politically correct at all. In fact, there's lots of me that's not politically correct. Lots of me that just isn't what I would like it to be. Lots of me that's not at all an example. In fact, please, people, don't follow me. Don't follow me, my example. But there's some good stuff in there, some stuff I'm really good at. And some of the stuff I'm really good at, it's because I've been pretty imperfect at it in the first place. And that's why I've just got better and better. It's sometimes my imperfections that are the most interesting thing about me, are the things that I've really driven to get better. Something about my imperfections are pretty damn perfect. Something about my imperfections are pretty damn perfect for my clients, for my audience. In fact, they may even like it. I mean, who wants somebody who's just totally got it all together, coaching them or doing healing work with them? It just seems like unattainable. I mean, don't we want a little bit of humanity in the helpers of the world? Don't we want them to be human? So, gee, I think I'm going to give up being perfect. I think I'm going to give up trying to be more than enough. Enough, enough. Enough is enough. I'm enough as I am. Warts and all. And I don't really have warts. Well, I did once. But. Yes, I think it's about ready to stop. But I seem to need to go on, so I'm going to go on a little bit and on and on and on. And on and on and on. I'm right on track. And I can charge. Without a charge, without an emotional charge, I can charge. I can even have fun charging. Like, it could be kind of like a game charging. I love charging. Ooh, isn't this fun? I get such a charge out of charging. Well, I think I'm done for the moment. Okay. Well.
Ha 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 ha
Now we have laughing yoga.
Get in charge, out of charge.
So
that is so good.
That's our positive affirmation.
Oh, I love it. Thank you. That was so good.
I think I'm going to put that up as a little index card
so
to myself
good.
Just to get some humor when I'm in that place. So, well, anything to report? Or I think we'll go into the healing codes. But if anybody wants to say another word or two, we can do that. Okay. So, yes. We're going to clear all the things. I'm hoping you can hear me. Yes, you can. Okay. So, what I'm going to do now is to go through the healing codes. And we're going to make the prayer and the request that that all known and unknown negative images, unhealthy beliefs, and destructive cellular memories, and all resulting physical issues related to valuing ourselves and being enough and knowing how to do that in the world through prices and sales and selling your services and whatever word you want to use for that. And that all these issues be found, opened, and healed, filling me with the love, life, and the light of the great creative force. I also ask that the effectiveness of this healing be increased by 100 times or more. Okay, so we're cupping our hands and we're pointing the energy in between the eyebrows. And we're focusing on whatever, we're letting the negative things around pricing and sales just dissolve and go out of our body, and all those negative evaluations of ourselves and how we have to be perfect and how we're not enough, just let them leave. And we're focusing on whatever image you feel, that feels positive to you. It could be like you could just focus on the image of a rose, which is a healing image, or you can focus on a statement like I get a charge about charging, the good kind of charge, whatever you want here, whatever feels like the truth for you. I feel comfortable charging for my services, if you're just starting to charge. Or, I feel comfortable charging enough so that I can do this service well and be provided for too. Okay, and then you go down to the throat and point your fingers towards the throat. And then to the jaw. And then to the side of the temple. and then in between the eyebrows. And then down to the throat. And then to the side of the jaw. Then to the side of the temple. Just letting all those beliefs go. And beginning to untangle all the web of beliefs that may lie behind them. Or experiences in your life where you felt you weren't enough. Or somehow shouldn't be charging so much. Or weren't valued. Whatever experiences kind of come to mind, just let them be there and then just say hello to them, recognize them, and then let them go. And then, then we want to, I wonder if that was energy going. Yes, and here we go, in between the eyebrows, focusing the energy there again. We'll cycle through once more. And then go down to the throat. And you're releasing more. And knowing that you can express yourself fully around what you feel your value is and how you want to be valued. Side of the jaw, and knowing that each of you has your particular brilliance that you're bringing to the world, and that you were created for that purpose. And it's not always so clear what it is, but you're finding it, and as you're finding it, you're valuing yourself more and more. And people are seeing the value. And you're able to take in their praise of your service. Or your art. Or whatever else it might be. You're able to take in and appreciate your gifts and give them to the world. Okay, side of the temples. Give them to the world. While bringing in that you need to prosper and to continue doing this work, feeling nurtured and looked after, and having the means to get the word out more because you're paying yourself enough so that you can afford whatever you need to promote yourself. And your business, or your artwork. Or whatever it is that you have. Or within your work, if you have a job. So let's just put our hands on top of our heads for a moment. And then let them drop to your sides and come back into the room and just rest your eyes on something that you find beautiful for a moment and take it in. That world, that abundance of beauty that we can find everywhere if we only just look at it and appreciate it and drink it in.
Oh,
I'm opening up the lines for if people want to say something. Okay. So I'm going to say goodbye for today. We're going to have an expert call in a few hours that I hope you can come to. And let me see. I think I've muted one of you and I can't unmute it. But so goodbye and have a great day.
Goodbye, Katie. Goodbye,
Katie.
Everybody.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Thanks.
Thank you,
Katie,
for the laughter.
Oh, it was a pleasure.
Thank you for bringing
that out of me.
Bye-bye.
Okay, so bye-bye then.
Bye-bye.
Bye.